forgive.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, thank you, Father, for fixing my internet and everybody else's internet. Maybe they're switching us over. You reckon? They're supposed to this night. This is the 8th and the 9th, they said. So we'll see. But they also said a couple more, too. So we'll see. Yeah, it's up to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Joe, what do you want to do with what you sent me?
I just want you to read it because I have a strange week. I cannot, maybe if you read that mail to everybody, I'm not sure why I did that. What could be the reason? It just was very strange to me.
Okay. I Julie, interpolate that for me.
Joe said something to the effect of he's had a strange week, and what he sent you, he just wanted you to read and kind of explain it, I guess. Is
Okay.
that kind of what you meant, Joe?
That's it. Thank you.
You talk about
Okay.
out
God
here
bless you.
or privately?
They can hear. Yes, everybody can hear that. So it's fine.
Oh, okay. You want everybody to hear? I don't know, Joe.
Yeah. I want nothing off my flesh. I want nothing off my flesh left.
Okay, brother, we're
Or
gonna
want
do
him dead.
it. All right, we're gonna expose Joe. All right, here's what Joe says. And stop me if you quit hearing me. He says, about 2 weeks ago, I told you all how the Lord works in me with patience. Monday evening after dinner, I sat quietly and thought about my day, etc., and then started praying. I pray about a lot of things, and one thing specifically that comes to mind, I feel I am missing something and ask the Lord if I am missing something that I need to do for more growth. It felt right to me when I prayed it. I finished my evening and went to bed. I had a bad night, slept very little. Early in the morning, I lay wondering about my little sleep. Father, show me. My prayer about something I am missing. Show me my impatience. Why do I pray something like that when I confess to be patient with what he is doing with me and what I have confessed before you all? He teaches me so much and has so much patience with me. I can't think of any reason why I prayed something like that. I confessed it to Father and now to you all. And also Monday night after I shaved, I swept the floor without closing the bathroom mirror. And again, Father stopped my head so I wouldn't hit my head on the sharp side of the mirror. It's all about slow down and everything. Thank you, Father, for manifestation of bearing. Something pulled up in my recording, pulled up in there. Thank you, Father, for manifestation of bearing Lord Jesus fruit in my soul. Thank you, Lord. Okay, that's it. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you for patience for all of us. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing with us. Let's see here, folks. I've got this little recording coming up, throwing itself up. Let's see here. Okay, I got it. I don't know how it's going to turn out when we get through, but we'll see. It'll be okay. All right, has anybody got any comments on what Joe wanted us to see or hear? I think patience is probably a big thing in a lot of us. Go ahead, Missy.
I've been sensing a lot here lately. The Lord just wanting me, and I think this is part of the whole patience thing, to just slow down and just be more at rest, which I think requires patience. You know, you just not wanting to do so much and cram so much thing, so much in, and it's like, no, don't do that today. Do it tomorrow. In other words, be patient. You don't need to do it today. Do it tomorrow, or do it another day, or whatever. And I just really sense the Lord just telling me that here lately. Just in the midst of my day, it's just that's just what's been coming to me. You know, slow down, rest in me, and just I guess you could say learning to practice his presence more, or just being more aware of his presence. It's like the song, let Holy Spirit, let us be more aware of your presence, you know, part. And anyway, that's just my two cents.
Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Julie.
Just some of the spiritual warfare, I guess, that everyone goes through at times. You know, for me, it was I haven't been able to just quiet down and spend a lot of time with the Lord today, but I was doing a lot of praying, and then spending time with Fred today kind of was a distraction. But at the same time, I knew I was still serving the Lord and helping him with what he needed. But then what Winnie posted today, I don't know if you had a chance to read it, but she posted this little screenshot that said, "The enemy fights your mind so aggressively because peace makes you dangerous. A stable mind can hear God clearly." And boy, is that the truth when you think about that. If you can have get into that place of complete peace and away from the distractions, away from all the constant badgering the enemy's attacking your mind with, so you can really hear and fellowship with the Lord, that's where I want to be, you know, right there in his presence and being able to have that peace and be in communion with him. And when there's other stuff going on around me, or there's just being spiritual attacks in one way, shape, form, or whatever, you know, I have to address that. I can't just ignore it. I try to ignore it for some time and just keep praising God and praying in the spirit. And then next thing I know, I'm doing warfare in the spirit. And so anyhow, I thought that was a really good little thing that she posted there, because he is always attacking our minds, either with accusations, distractions, like, you got to do this, you should do this. And it's like, no, well, Lord, what do you want me doing? You know, and being at rest and at being at peace, and there's things I need to do, there's things I want to do, but I want to be here. So what, you know, and there's been a lot of, I've been dealing with a lot of confusion that way. I don't know about anybody else, but I just thank you, Lord, for helping us all overcome in our trials and getting nearer to you, to hear you, and doing the warfare when we have to do the warfare, but just being able to sit at your feet and listen to you. And thank you, Lord, for all the work you're doing in each and every one of us regarding these things we go through, because it's all about the growth. It's all about the working in us and helping us to recognize the thoughts, you know, recognize the thoughts and what they are and who they are, whether it's our flesh or it's the enemy using our flesh and all kinds of things. So thank you, Lord, just being at peace and at rest so we can hear you and fellowship with you and get in your word and doing what is important and what you're leading us to do. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Occupy. Glory be to God. Stick way over here in the corner. Yeah. Anybody else? I was looking at today something that I'd like to discuss with y'all. If you, we got a little bit of time left, probably an hour and 15 minutes, but the armor of God, the armor of God. What is the armor of God? And should we be putting the armor of God on every day? And I put the armor of God in the chat, which is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 13. And I just wanted to get y'all's take on should we put it, should we put the armor of God on? And if we put it on, why do we put it on? Why do we put the armor of God on, the whole armor of God? And of course, it tells us, I'm just going to read it first. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, not just a piece of it, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And actually, I should have put some more in, put the helmet of my breastplate, a sword, and all of that. Has anybody got anything I'd like to say about the armor of God? Let me see here. Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother.
Can I finish reading
Yes,
that?
please do.
Verse 14, it said, "Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, withal taking up the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And with all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit, and watching thereunto into all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and on my behalf, that utterance may be given unto me in opening my mouth to make known the boldness, the with boldness, the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." I was just thinking, I was thinking a little bit about what Joe was feeling. I guess I'm feeling, I believe that what I perceive Joe is feeling here is a viewing of the perfectness, being able to see the complete and perfect package in Christ that God has placed all of us in. Are you able to hear me, by the way? And sometimes I know there's just seeing that I tend to get overwhelmed, I guess you might say overwhelmed in the immensity of it, or the feeling of the inability to step up to the plate, type of thing. And I don't, again, I don't know what Joe is feeling here, but I'm just kind of rattling off here. But and there's sometimes there's that, come on, Lord, let's just get this thing done and get it over with, but it's like the craftsman who is creating a masterpiece, so to speak, he's working with hearts, and he's working with beliefs, and he's I don't know how to say this. He's not he desires to make sons, and making sons or creating and grooming. Yeah, it's a kind of an unpopular word these days. What I'm trying, maturing sons is a little more time consuming and requires a lot more patience than just having children. And so there's kind of that aspect of it that, when it's like he's doing the job, and he is the only one that knows how to do it, because he knows what the temple is created to look like. But I guess the kind of the aspect that I had for the last few days is that we also, I think, have to realize that this temple that he is building is not just consisting of us, meaning me and you and various other people. We're talking about people worldwide, talking about a temple that is worldwide, and we're talking about a temple that has spanned the generations of 6,000 years and moving into the 7,000 years. All of that is incorporating the temple, meaning that everything that has happened up to this point was absolutely essential in putting the pieces together for the end time temple of God. That's why in Ezekiel, think it was Ezekiel, there's will be a day when of the restoration, when the waste places will be rebuilt, when he is going to prophesy in that field of dead bones and raise that up at the end time, and create this massive army which will take down those seven empires before and bring them to their knees and bring it all under the subjection of the body of Christ. So sometimes, I mean, there's an immensity of powers and principalities and everything that are happening, and you know, we're seeing a glimpse of it now, and sometimes I even get overwhelmed by the glimpse that I'm seeing, that, you know, in the battles connected to it, you just where I'm at in my walk with the Lord. And so I think, you know, when it all boils down to the end, I just have to lift up my heart and my hands to the Lord Jesus and thank Him that He is able to finish that which He started within us.
Amen.
So, praise you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord of God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you that you love us, Lord.
Amen.
Where would we be? Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. So, the armor of God. What can we explain? How can we explain the armor of God to somebody that doesn't know what the armor of God is? Huh? Yeah, Missy. I was going to start out with one thing. Now, we're not going through all of them right now. Just what's the first one? What is that?
What do you mean? Just give one thing of what the armor is?
What you think the armor is, that part of the armor is. What is it used for? The breastplate of righteousness. Or any one of them would be fine. I'm not going to limit it just going right straight down the line.
Well, what about saying in general what the armor of God is?
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, it's the Word, and the Word is Jesus. Jesus is the Word, and that's all I'll say, and I'll let somebody else go.
So if I'm putting on the breastplate of righteousness, what does that keep me from doing? How does that protect me? Missy? Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, I thought He'd done set you down. No, I'm just kidding.
Will you
go
ask
ahead.
Me?
Well, yeah, I did.
Once again, Jesus is that is my righteousness, and everything in His Word that He commands us to do is. But it's by His grace that we can only do those things which is righteousness, you know.
Okay. Let's see. I don't know who was first, Julie or Pat. Pat, go ahead.
Yeah.
Julie was first. Go ahead, Julie.
Now, who's running the show? Who's running the show? I'm just asking.
I think if you look at the chat there or something where the people are, it shows who's first. But
no,
it doesn't make me a bit of difference. Just go ahead.
Okay. Well, you asked a few questions. So you asked, how would you explain it to somebody who didn't know what the armor of God is?
Yeah, let's
Right?
do that
Okay.
first. Yes.
Okay. So Missy said, and this was what I was agreeing with what she said, well, it's the word of God, and the word of God is Jesus. And so how would you explain that to somebody who doesn't know what it is? And in, I guess, in a simple way, it might be just sharing that the armor is the word of God, and you have to know what the word of God says about your salvation, who you are in Christ, what Jesus has, what we've been given through his life, death, and resurrection. And it's basically it's the promises. And in a nutshell, that's how I'd explain it in simple. It's having to study the word, which is Jesus, and learn what all these things are, and what you have to learn what the word is. You have to learn what the armor is, and it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a spiritual thing, and people who don't know wouldn't be able to understand unless they were spiritually discerned, but you could try.
Yep. Okay, Pat.
I guess I was trying to think of, say, the starting point and of which everything everybody said is, I agree with. I think the point that I would be thinking about, and that is, how do you get it? How do you put it? It says, put on the armor of God. And as Julie and Missy were explaining, the armor of God, is Jesus, is the Word of God. How do you put it on? Now it is put on by believing what it is saying, and that armor of God, there's some very heavy specifics there about some of the major portions of the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, that position, a place of being forgiven and righteous, declared righteous by the only one that can declare righteousness, and that is God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ. But all of those things are all spiritual places. They're not physical places. And you enter into or acquire them by a spiritual means. You don't go out to the grocery store and buy a gallon of righteousness. It's a spiritual position, a spiritual place, and it is acquired by a spiritual means, which is believing in that word, those words. I think of Psalm 91:1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place. It's a secret place because it isn't seen. It isn't visible. it is a place that you can dwell in, but it is a place that is connected with believing, number one, believing it. And of course, if you don't believe it, it's not available to you. It's not, you can't access it. I don't know if I told a story. Well, I won't tell it now, but the Lord gave me a story about the process of believing and him being the doorway, the door to the sheep. And many of the questions and many of the battles, many of the questions to life only happen after you enter, you open up that door and walk through that door of Christ, because you enter into another place by believing in him and believing his word. And every word of God has the same concept with it, is that you only have the answers for questions that you may have related to a particular word only after you believe it and you walk through that door into that next room, into the room on the other side of whether you're going to believe it or not. And once you believe something and you walk into it, walk through into that truth, then you start to gather information as to the questions that you may or may have, that you may have had regarding that truth and regarding that that word, shall we say. When you're still on the other side of that truth, the outside of that truth, you don't have the perspective to ask the right questions and see the right things. You only have that perspective after you have embraced that truth and walk through into it and walk where it takes you. And so that's, in my opinion, is much like dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. You only get there after you believe it, and after you move into it. And again, that's where the questions come up, and the new perspective generates new understandings and new questions, and new things get answered. And as you walk in it, the old things fall off, and you start to understand and see more. And I believe this is a lot of how putting on the armor of God, some of the things of the armor of God, I would say I don't understand because I haven't walked fully in them. I haven't, entered into fully into them. And I think that, as the Psalms teaches us, that our Lord teaches our arms to war, teaches us how to war in his warfare. And until you even have a need or a desire or thinking in that way, as far as warfare, spiritual warfare, we don't have a clue of what is what encapsulates that, what's involved in all that. It's only after we get into it that we start to see, you know, what we're lacking and what we need and what to pray for and what to cast down, etc. Somebody once told me that I think the saying was, the thing about experience is that you'll only get it after you need it. And it's kind of the same way, you know, with truth. You know, you kind of have to just jump into it and see where and go where it takes you. And you know, praise the Lord, we have the Lord Jesus that's given us the Holy Spirit to do exactly that and to walk in that truth. So I guess the short of it is, I think the aspect of putting on the armor of God is first, we have to believe it. We have to believe that it is a real and a substantive thing, that it is truth. Even after Psalm 91:1 comes to verse 2, where he says, and I think this is one step of how you put that armor on. He said, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress and my God in whom I trust. I will say it. And that is another aspect of believing it, believing His word and speaking it forth, and in so doing, those that call upon the name name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, so anyway, I guess I'm through rattling.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Pat. Go ahead, Andrew, or Ben, or both.
Well, I righteousness is a blessing from the Lord, and the blessings in Matthew chapter 5 says, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And you know, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. So this bless, and you know, later on there's another association with righteousness where it says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. This being before the cross, these people were attaining righteousness from the Lord by what he spoke to them and he breathed on them. But the righteousness that speaks in 2 Corinthians 5:21 is completely different. For he took him who knew no sin, and God made him sin on our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God by faith and love, faith that worketh love. In the righteousness of God is what we're attaining, and he's gonna do this righteousness in us, and to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, there's which it says right there in the last verse of, I think it's Romans 13 and 14, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Well, all of this is the word of God. So we are putting on this armor of God, but a righteousness is also a snow white garment. And righteousness is given to the blessed person who hungers and thirsts after it, and as he increases in it, to have a new covenant means that the Lord is putting something in your mind to love him with, and in your heart to love them with. Because that's the covenant as it's written in Hebrews 8 and 8 to the end of 8. Good to sometimes review that, because a lot of people don't know what the new covenant is. The Lord is building you this way. He's putting these words in you of righteousness. And put on the Lord Jesus Christ is kind of like your house being repaired. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, there's two verses there that have the word groan in it. And we groan to have, if I may just read it, because it speaks of it as if it's clothing. Because it says here in 2 Corinthians 5 and 1 and 2, for we know that if our earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, which we would really like to have, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal. And it's an eternal word for an eternal life in the heavens. For verily in this we groan, longing to be clothed upon with our habitation from heaven. Now this habitation is kind of like a parable. Because I don't think you guys look like a house. I'm the biggest one here. So but how are you a house and at the same time an epistle, a sheet of paper, known and read of all men? So, you know, he speaks like some of the unbelievers say in allegories, but he's speaking to you in parables. And these parables of being the temple of the Lord, the tabernacle of the Lord, and whenever you see these words in the particular verse, you know, this is what the Lord is building in you. And it's a sanctuary also. And the sanctuary, to have the sanctuary of God, he's building you. He's, of course, again, telling you to be separate. And he's the only one revealing that to what you're separated from. And you know, he could give you some knowledge about this, but he also wants to make you separate from sin, like 5:21 says, and he wants to make you righteous. He wants to separate you from your curse, your sickness, and your sin. So he wants to give you righteousness for sin. And there is an exchange there, but with the exchange there is also a yoke you have to put on. You know, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So you know, it's when you read the, it says here, when Michael started reading at verse 10, it says, for the rest. You know, and I sometimes wonder if that word rest in there is there for a purpose, you know, because we have to rest in the Lord. You know, we have a sabbatismos, and that is actually a parable too. The days are parables, and you know, they had a problem with people who were respecting days and seasons and years in because someone was trying to put them under some ceremonial laws in Galatia. And today they're trying to put you under some wrong behavioral laws. So it's a lot worse today than any former Jew who was wrong a bit in the Galatia on what they were doing back then. And then also in chapter 15 of Acts, where they did the same thing. So what we want is we want the Lord to give us this desire to have this righteousness, and not only just the righteousness, because this righteousness, he that is The last page of the Bible says, "He that is righteous, let him be righteous still." And it's very close that what you're really putting on here with all this armor is holiness. Because he that is holy, let him be made holy still. So, and then they have the reverse of that. It's just he that is unrighteous and he that is filthy, you know. So, and made is a creative word. So we have to get to that place where the Lord wants us, and he is sovereign, and he knows how to make his sons and daughters and his children more in the Lord, and to bear fruit up to 60 and 100. And there's a lot of people who think it's just salvation. And you could probably hear a Baptist telling you about salvation, a Catholic, a Methodist. But we know some things that they don't know. And the Lord gave you these things. It's not you being that gave it to you. It's who gave it to you being that. You know, so, and who gave it to all these people that you read of in the New Testament when you read about it? And you know, even some of the people that were in the first century, like Polycarp, he hung around John the Apostle. There's people like Felicitas, a young lady who couldn't even read, and yet she was saved. So, you know, really, you know, you got some newcomers, but she wasn't a newcomer by no means. She couldn't, she was illiterate. But hopefully her friend Perpetua, who was another young lady in their 20s, taught her to spell her name at least before they both were martyred in the Colosseum. But we don't know that, you know, and of course, Perpetua was fluent in both Greek and Latin. And she came from a wealthy family, you know. So there's all these different things that are not a righteous saying, you know, that usually people, some people, I remember these people, they associate wealth with being evil, but that's not necessarily true, you know. The Hermas, Shepherd of Hermas, was a commerce guy. You know, he had righteousness, and you know, he did his commerce properly. And if you heard or read any of his letters there, he was constantly praying to the Lord about his commerce activities, you know, which we kind of do too with all our activities and what we do during the day. And we wait on the Lord, and he knows what we need the most. You know, it's like that, not to be worried, you know, not to be anxious for anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And he's the one we emulate for righteousness, because that's that verse. You know, you see, it says it's the most quoted verse for righteousness, 2 Corinthians 5:21. But if you look very closely, it's also a reconciliation verse. And it's right close to the 5:18 reconciliation verse. And it's also an Emmanuel verse, God with us, because both Jesus and God the Father's righteousness is in there. There's lots of Emmanuel verses. It's not just, I love the thought of born again, Emmanuel verse, you know, God with us. And Simeon spoke of it. Now, the old man Simeon said, now I can die, for I have seen my salvation. Well, what did he exactly see there? You know, he saw a baby, you know, and this is the Lord's admonishing us that when you're in front of a Romans 14, very young Christian, you got to be careful, you know, and you run into some of them who might be witnessing on the street to other children, you know, and they're just talking like little children to these children. It happened the other day to me, and the child listened to this older person, but he was talking to a, I don't know, he looked like maybe 9 years old. But, you know, and so what can you say? Anyways, I would say that you have to let the Lord remind you of things too. Because the Lord wants to remind you of things, as it says in the 14th chapter. He's going to prepare a place for us, but if he's going to prepare the place for us, you know, it's like when you go into your house or apartment, you know, you have a place there that's physical, but you have a place that is this house that I read, you know, and you know what it looks like. You know what it sounds like too. And you know that your senses are a parable for other senses to taste and see that the Lord is good, and another interesting parable, but it's written in the Psalms, but it's also spoken, these parables that you wouldn't even think of a parable. Jesus walking on the sea, an actual physical thing he did, was actually a parable too, and when he called Peter up, even Jesus going to his cross is a parable for our own. And forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And how many times does that come into my mind when I think of all the differences in Christianity today and what has transpired over the past 2,000 years? So this righteousness, this clothing of God here is to put Jesus Christ on. And righteousness and salvation and truth and peace and faith and the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, is in every verse. You can take Romans 1:16 and 17. You know, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also unto the Greek. For herein is being revealed the righteousness of God, from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. That's that clothing you put on. Every single piece is in those verses. You can take apart those verses word by word, and you know what it'll end up being? Emmanuel, God with us. And that's what exactly he's doing, because he's putting this word in our mind to love him with, and in our heart to love him with. I think that's the consciousness that he's repairing in us. And that's Emmanuel, God with us. And that's righteousness for sure. Praise and glory to God. Now, I didn't think about all this I said it, so I sure hope that that it blesses people. And I want my people, my brothers and sisters, to be encouraged and to know that all those things that you've read in Sovereign God came out of Revelation, and all those things that came out of Revelation is God's kind of code for you that he's going to bring you through this. No matter where you are, no matter what time you make it to, we've had people already go and fall asleep and go to the Lord. But can we not say that the Lord is always with us when it's Emmanuel, when you speak it? It's one of the witnesses of the Spirit, the water, and the blood, that these three agree in one, Emmanuel. And that's the Father, God with us. So praise and glory to God. Wow. I should tell people this stuff. It's so much easier telling you guys, but man, it would be so great to. Like, you guys, you know automatically that if you're going to talk to anyone, you already know most of their problem is anyway. They don't know what God has told you, and that's Emmanuel too. And I mean, you know, I keep wanting the Lord to use me. I want an open door. I want people to hear. It's easy to speak here in front of you guys, but it ain't no. It's a real nasty. Like it's, I don't know, like the knot hole in the board. They're trying to put bullets through the wrong way. Because usually they only come out one way, you know. And it's, yeah, these sayings and all the sayings that you hear when we have fellowship, and when you hear them in the Bible studies, and when you hear them in the examples of the Word, you know, it's going to come to you. He's going to remind us when we need them. Glory to God.
Amen. Go ahead, Pat.
Excuse me. I think of, I think I mentioned it on here before, but there was a saying or a word that was a author in the 90s of books that I used to read of his. But he said that one of the things he said was that it will take a higher level of thinking to solve the problems our current level of thinking created. And that, I believe, is what the Lord is doing with all those that are seeking that right, seeking his righteousness. There's, you know, we're in a day and age when I'm going to say that the enemy has come in like a flood, and it is going to take a higher level of faith than what we have seen in the body of Christ up to this point in the world. God has given us nuggets and expressions of these of the quality of faith in specific people in our history, and even in our presence in this day and age. There are people scattered all around this world, that there are different little aspects of faith functioning there that that the Lord wants to work into the whole body. And it's almost impossible to grasp that concept because of what it will take and what it is taking and has taken up to this point. I have no doubt we are going to be flabbergasted with our jaws dropped down when we are able to see everything that the Lord is doing and has done to bring this thing to pass in these in this final age. This is a body of believers, and I'm not speaking when I say that I'm speaking not specifically of this body. I think we have, you know, we have to realize, you know, that we have something here that is no doubt probably happening all over the world in various different groups of pockets all around the world, I believe. But anyway, but it's going to take a it is going to take a people that are dead to their own life and alive only to Jesus, alive to that life of Christ within them. And I know we all grasp that by faith, and we look to that and embrace that cross and whatever. But there is a, I believe, even in the teachings, some of those nuggets that John Wesley brought into the Christian mindset, is that there is a place where it happens in the spirit. It is done in the spirit, and the results flood, overwhelm and flood, are released in the soul and in the life and in the body. And and it happened in, you know, that aspect happened in a few people, in a minor few, compared to the whole body that needs to enter into that state of rest in his holiness and the absolute faith and confidence and resting in the death of the old man and the raising of the new man in Christ. And I think that I was thinking about that verse that Andrew brought up there. Or what I was actually going off of, the Ephesians 6:11 said, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And I mean, there was a time when I didn't even know that the devil had wiles. I could have cared less. I was seeking the Lord and enjoying, you know, his presence and walking with him, and I was, I guess, kind of oblivious to the devil and the craft that he has been created to participate in, and how he wants to take us all out, and we have the ability to rest in by faith in the protection and the armor that God has given us. But it's all by believing. And it is a place. When we were reading these about the wiles of the devil, and I thought about that verse in Ephesians 4:27, when he's saying, after he's telling people, don't be angry, And then after that, he's saying, neither give place to the devil. So there's a place that our anger actually gives to the devil. It is a place for a spirit to rest upon and to be able to afflict or manipulate or stand in your life. Never. So he says, neither give place to it. And all of this happens, how do you give a place to, it is done by believing something, by speaking something, it's a belief, a thought, if the thought's incorporated with it and the speaking of it that actually provides place. And likewise, the Lord's salvation within us, for as Andrew was saying, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. To everyone that believes. And then the next verse, he says, for therein is revealed the righteousness of God. Wherein is the therein that he's talking about? He says, for therein is revealed a righteousness of God. What is it? Where is it that it is revealed? It is revealed when we believe. It's a place that is revealed after we believe. When we believe a particular truth and we believe it, and it is a righteousness that is revealed within us from faith unto faith, as it is written, and the righteous shall live by faith. And it's all connected to believing, receiving, believing, and the thoughts and the actions that come as a result of that. So anyway, I don't know how I got off on that, other than I think of that, again, back at that thought, it's going to take a higher level of thinking to resolve and solve those problems our current level has created. So anyway, there we are.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? So, if I wanted to put on this armor, how would I do it? Okay. Go ahead, Joe.
I think believing is just studying every day the word. When you're putting it on, you remind yourself of who you are, what you can do, because we are a spiritual people fighting a spiritual battle against the kingdoms of this world, not against physical people. So to be religious doesn't help you. You have to know who you are in Christ, to know what you have been putting on and what you're dealing with.
Wouldn't it be that putting on the, it's just, just a minute, let me run down through here just a minute. So if you're going to put on the breastplate, if you're going to put on the armor of God every day, what would you do? I'll just tell you, okay? Let me just tell you. What you would do is do what the word says. What you've read, what you've done, the word of God is the armor, as some of you said. So what we want to do is to girded our loins with truth. Well, when the falsity comes in, we discard that, don't we? The breastplate of righteousness is to seal us from all the wrong things that we hear, all the things that come across our path. We don't do it. We do what the Word of God says. The helmet of the what is it? A salvation. The helmet of salvation. That helmet of salvation is to keep those thoughts pure of what the Holy Word says, right? So we just walk in what y'all have all said. Walk in the Word of God. Do the Word of God. That's what it is. That's what the armor of God is. Yes. You just do what the Word of God is. The helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. You take that sword of the Spirit against the enemy, don't you? Yep, you whack him. And with all prayer and supplication. So we have this prayer. There's something involved here. We do all the prayer. We pray in the Spirit. We do all those things. And we have to do it every day. We get out here and walk, in the world. We've got the enemy coming against us everywhere. The thing to do, and this is excuse me, I was reading about this earlier with oh gosh, I can't think of the guy's name right now, but anyway, one of the things John Ramirez, one of the things that he said was that the people who don't put on the armor of God are the ones that get taken out. And so what he told them is you must always be aware of who you are in Christ and that the Holy Spirit is in you to lead you and to guide you into all things. And when something comes up that's contrary to what the Word of God said, rebuke it and walk in what the Word says, because we all know what it means. We all know how to walk that walk. I hope we do anyway. But David's real good about saying, read the Word of God and do the Word of God. Doing the Word of God is where we sometimes miss it. And to listen to his testimony, this John Ramirez guy, he's the guy that was into Satanism big time, and he was leaving his body and doing all that kind of stuff. And this little church started praying. They were being hit by the demons and stuff, and they started praying. Started praying real hard. They started praying every day. And he was leading, he went out of body, went leading a bunch of horde of demons to come over to this church and take it over. But what awaited them, they saw this field over that thing, but they went over there anyway to fight them demon. I mean, to fight the angels, and of course the angels won, and they took him, threw him on the altar of that church, and his body was there that he had left back at his house. The angels had gotten the body and put it in there and put him in it, and that's where he got saved. I swear they, yeah. What reason I told you that is that's the power of being suited with the armor of Christ, you know, the armor of God. And not only that, praying with other people all the time, praying, keeping your praying stuff, and keeping the enemy away from us. It's such an, as a matter of fact, I'm going to be talking about that tomorrow. And it's going to, I hope it wakes up a lot of people to what prayer does and walking in the word. And because we're fixing to come into some tough stuff. We're coming into a shaking that the people that are just kind of marginally going along, walking along, ain't going to make it. It's going to be those that have given it all, laying it all on the altar. And John Malindi is the guy's name I was thinking about from Uganda. Wonderful guy, sounds like. But anyway, that's how I picture the armor of God is, like y'all said, the word of God, but walking and doing the word of God. And knowing who you are in Christ, that's always most of the people who call themselves Christians don't even know who they are, what power they have that resides in them if they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. They don't even know, most Christians don't even know we're headed for a good shaking here. That's the sad part about it. They're not getting ready. So that's something that God is really hammering home here is get ready. Be ready for this great shaking. Because we're going to help a lot of folks if you are. If you're ready for them, you're going to be helping a lot of folks. You're going to be helping your family. You're going to be helping your friends and your neighbors. Going to be happening to everybody. And we do that by being pure as the driven snow, as they say. And we do that by repenting and getting back right with God, and doing the things He's asked us to do. But one thing that He's impressed upon me, y'all, is daily meetings with Him, with the Lord, daily. That doesn't mean that I do it every day, but I try to. As we all have, we get distracted sometimes, don't we? But you just pick up where you left off the last time. Yeah, let me get down off the soapbox. But it's an interesting story, and the reason I wanted to put it across is because he explains a lot about the spiritual warfare that's going on in the heavens. And David and I went over it today, and he said, "Man, you need to get that out there." I said, "Yeah, I know it." So we're going to get it out there.
What's his name, Michael?
I'm not going to tell you.
Okay. spoiler alert, huh?
oh, man. Wait till I hit the record button. Okay. I didn't mean for you to hear it. Anyway. Anybody else got anything to add to what we just talked about? Is that how many of you want to help everybody around you when the time comes? I think we all do. How many of you want to give up yourself in order to be able to do it? That's the big question. Yeah, amen. Thank you, Jesus. And it's going to be awesome. It's going to, thank you, Jesus. All right, anyone else? Hey, wait a minute. Yeah, go ahead, Pat. I'll let you go. But Jimmy, get ready.
I was gonna say, you mentioned that many people, many Christians are not even aware that we're getting ready to go into this place of great destructions and great need. And those needs are only going to be met through the process of faith. And if we haven't trained ourselves and become comfortable in those ways of faith in order to receive those needs, receive our needs, we're not going to be able to help others to do so. The time that we're coming into is not so much, it's a time of harvest and not so much a time of learning, even though there's going to be a lot of learning happening at that time, and it's going to be on the job training, and the apprenticeship is over. You're into it full force, full speed ahead. So it's I mean, I hate to say that aspect of it, but we're going to be in an environment of do or die. Or it's going to be an environment of obey the Lord, obey the truth, submit to the word of God, believe the word of God, because anything short of that it could potentially be detrimental. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and he will you cast your care upon him, he will lead you through the path. So that's, I mean, that's the place where we're going. And those that choose not to follow the Lord in that time are going to suffer for it, and many will die at the hands of their own lack of understanding or their own lack of proper decision making in that time or whatever. So, and all of that is based upon is learning to dwell and walk in the spirit as opposed to the flesh. So anyway, uh-oh.
And there was light. Let there be light. Okay. That's right, Pat. There's going to be a lot of people that think that they're okay. Not going to be okay. We got a good song coming up.
Every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack. you can't have my praise. No matter the attack, I won't turn back. Cause this means war.
Did y'all hear that Jew's harp there at the end? Dwing, ding, dong, dwing, ding, dong. That was a Jew's harp. Amen. That was a good one. Well, all right, we're out of time. Lord, we thank you for tonight. We praise you, Lord, that all of us are wearing our armor of God. We praise you for it, Father. Thank you for giving it to us. Thank you, Lord, for placing it all on us to where the enemy has no advantage over us at all. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. All right. Y'all be blessed.